This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Welcome to the Click Nation Podcast. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight, I'm joined by my older brother, soon to have a birthday on Friday, and we're recording on Wednesday, July 18th, the Adam Black.
Hey, what's up, true believers? Thanks for the birthday shout-out.
Yeah. And we also have Leroy Jetstream.
I said, what's up, people?
Last but not least, our reality check correspondent, Brandy from BLR Productions.
Woo, what it do, people?
And tonight we're going to be minus Mr. Banff unless he, unless the show runs long and he gets home from work and is able to join us. So you just have to stay tuned and listen to the whole show to find out if Mr. Banff greets you with the evening bitches. That was a good, hope that was a good impression.
That was close. That was good.
Hold your applause, people. Don't sound so enthused. As someone claps in the background.
I'm wondering what that was. I was like, okay.
Someone gives me the golf clap.
Yeah, because it didn't sound like a clap. I'm like, what are they doing?
You sound like someone clapping their booty cheeks, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was.
Booty, booty, butt cheeks. Booty, 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 butt cheeks. Anyway, so yes, we are the Click Nation and BLR Productions. And you can follow us on our website and read our posts and keep up with our podcast, www.theclicknation.com. And Brandy, you want to give your website?
It's www.imsopure.com.
And we also have Twitter accounts. The Click Nation's Twitter account is at The Click Nation. Brandy's, if she doesn't mind me saying it, is BLR_Productions. That's right.
Correct. Don't forget that sign.
The at, of course, if you're using Twitter, you have to use at symbols. And we are on Facebook, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Brandy, I'll let you give your...
Y'all can hit me up on facebook.com/BLRProductionsDesigns.
Yes. And for if you ever want to subscribe to our shows, you can do that on iTunes. Just search for The Click Nation. And we're on Stitcher Radio, of course, under The Click Nation. Build us a station. Put us on there, put the Cults of the Podcast, put the Eclectic Discussion Podcast. That's the form of Zelda Triangle of Hyrule. What was that object in Zelda, Adam Black?
Triforce,
yes. That's what I'm going to start calling our three shows now, because I was telling Classic that we need to come up with some kind of like nickname for,
you know, you have Triforce, and for the football guys out there, you know, you have the trifecta. So, oh, you know,
trifecta, the triple threat.
Yep.
To steal from ECW, ECW, ECW. So yes, those are. And of course, if you ever want to comment on any of our shows, you can add us on Twitter or leave us messages on Facebook or give us iTunes reviews, which we always appreciate, or just send us an email to theclicknation@gmail.com. So that's about hits our social media websites. And yeah, let's see, so we've talked about the social media. How was everyone's week this past week?
So far, so good. It's been crazy busy in the design world.
Yes, you were telling me about that earlier today. You've been designing some websites for people.
Yeah, I've been designing websites, flyers. I would say Black people just been getting on my nerves today. Nobody has their shit together, but it's cool. Everybody wants stuff like yesterday, but they ain't paying till tomorrow. Don't get it, but
believe me, I get it. I know a guy, and he was in line taking pictures, and he heard pretty much every excuse that Negroes come with more excuses to pay you than when it's time for them to go to jail. Yeah. So it's like, oh, I ain't got them. Whoa, and we need to do a show on that, Brandon, called The Double Standard Between Negroes Paying My Money, because if it was somebody that's along the Caucasian persuasion, then they'll be like, oh, they pay it right there on time.
Exactly.
And they don't even complain about the price. Get up immediately, like, they're like, oh, well, they started talking to me about slavery. So I ain't never been no slave. I'm an American. I ain't even African American at this point. I'm Black. Well, where you coming African American from? I don't know no Africans. I don't know what tribe I come from. I don't know any of that, dude. I'm an American, dude. I'm from Macon, Georgia. Get out of here from there.
So
my Caucasian customers, they beat me to it. They be like, they remind me to send the invoice. I'm like,
Oh, now you know what? They are the best. And even if you don't do that great of a job, they're still like kind of like cool. Like, really, it depends, because all the ones I had were like ecstatic, and then like I messed up and started doing designs and stuff for Black people. I didn't want to make it predominantly that, but it just ended up being that way. Then I got money and stuff got mixed up. First of all, Black people, if you have somebody design a website, this has nothing to do with brand new BLR. This is Jetstream talking. Get your shit together. What I mean, Brandy is a designer. Brandy ain't a copywriter. She ain't writing your copy. So if your copy ain't straight, don't get mad with her. If you couldn't spell and edit your stuff what you wanted to say, then she puts it up the way you give it to her, and you're like, well, I didn't really want to say that. Can you change? No, she can't change it, dog. She designed them. Look, she put pixels over here and here and here and that part look pretty. That's what she do. But as far as, getting her to write for you, nah, that's going to be extra. Okay, enough about that. On with the show. I'm particularly pissed today.
I was gonna ask, were you the young man in Atlanta taking pictures that you mentioned earlier?
No, that's not me. That's just some other dude, man. Oh. That's not me. That's not Jetstream. Jetstream is a separate person. I mean, he's good friends. Now that guy, he's Larry Walker Jr. Now he's cool people. You can reach him at lwj.com. He cool people. He ain't got nothing completed yet because he's lazy. And I talked to him all the time, like, dog, you need to really get up off your ass, cause you can't hang with me no more with the stuff you're doing, because it's just, you're just messing up. But anyway, that's him.
Yes. Yeah. What's the website again?
LWJphotography.com.
Yeah, so hit him up and
You can hit him up over on that, and he'll be working on that. I'm gonna hold his hand and get him through some stuff. I'm gonna work with him.
There you have it. So on that note,
I know the show just got really strange.
It's like
did he have a nervous breakdown? No, I didn't have a nervous breakdown. People
maybe struck a nerve.
No, Jetstream is a character, so I've always intended him to be a character, so he's not a handle, he's more of a character.
That was that NAACP soapbox moment.
Yeah.
Quote unquote hashtag. So since you came up with that name, the NAACP Black Moments, we're going to keep with that theme and head over and listen to Brandy tell us about some reality check.
reality check for this week. If you haven't, I suggest that you tune in every Monday on VH1 at 8 o'clock and watch the ratchetness that goes on with Love and Hip Hop ATL. This week I have titled the roundup discussion to be called "As the World of Ratchetness Turns." I think the episode was titled "No Receipts," which was interesting. Pretty much the saga between Mimi and Stevie J and Jocelyn took another step. Mimi packed up all of Stevie's shit and she just didn't kick him out. This proves the fact that Stevie is probably homeless like we predicted the week before, because Chick said she had to pack up his stuff, put it in her truck, and then she was like, a few days later, she was like, I finally found out where Stevie J lives, so I'm taking his box to his house.
Wait a minute.
And let me break in on that. What wasn't that like wasn't that like just the saddest shit, a little bitty ass boxes she had for him? Like, it was like them four little sad boxes.
That's what I was like, you got three UPS boxes that don't even look like they fill to the brim. Why the hell is you traveling to go deliver this stuff to
No, them? You know that they were light, because remember she didn't ask for no help to get them out, so you know they weren't heavy. A couple of them she was just even slamming down on the ground like, you know.
I was like, why the hell is this chick driving around ATL with props in her trunk? Like, we know that dude don't stay there. We know y'all ain't together. For whatever reason, you holding on to the slither of hope because she carried the man baby. But I'm convinced that that was another ploy for TV for us to see her as, I don't know, the average strong black woman, whatever. So that was what went on with that. Speaking of relationships, I got a little thing in my inbox stating that, according to Media Takeout, Stevie J proposed to Jocelyn, and they're supposed to be getting married.
Well, we knew how he was, but we know. But, you know, they can't get married in the state of Georgia, so they need to cut that back. They can't get married. I mean, they're going to have to go to Vermont, maybe California, you know.
According to sources who have something to do with the production of the show, they said that the proceeding was described as moving and touching. And it was confirmed that the TV crew was there to film the entire proposal.
Of course.
No word.
That's the reunion show. That's going to be our reunion show clip.
No word on what the answer or the response from Jocelyn was, but I'm sure it was in distorted Caribbean baritone voice, so whatever.
Damn.
So yeah, that's big ups to Media Takeout for publishing that little ratchet tidbit.
This piece of ratchetness news.
Let's see what else went on. Oh, Lil Scrappy Mama got all upset with the girl Erica, pretty much. Apparently, Scrappy had a night of fun, came home drunk, and woke up with an asthma attack. So Erica was like, all right, dude. She's mad because Scrappy decides to have an asthma attack while she's on her way to work. So she called up one of his homeboys and was like, come get your boy. And she chucked the deuce. Sure enough, Scrappy, in mama's boy fashion, called his mama over, was pretty much snitching on what Erica did to him, and that caused her to go all hot and crazy, talking about, you left my son for dead. You just left my son for dead. That's why y'all need to be together, blah, blah, blah. So nearly at the end of the episode, Erica and Scrappy met up at, I don't remember what restaurant, but I know that was outside on the patio. And they was discussing this little matter. And everybody knows that when Bucky showed up on the scene, that Scrappy was going to be looking for any excuse.
It was over when Bucky came on there. So I feel sorry for Erica. Erica, you know, Erica girl, it's just dream talking. You can do a whole lot better than Scrappy. Because she's paying the bills. She left because the poor girl in a situation where she got to go to work and pay bills, and she can't call in by a little scrappy. And you know, it's like what Mr. Bamf said, you know, earlier, way back in the show, who was clowning on before we got Brandy on, that, you know, what's the difference between dating scrappy and just some regular old random nigga in the street? And there's no difference because she had to go to work to keep the lights on. So, you know, plus she made a good argument that she had a miscarriage, and I don't know what he was doing. This might have been back when, you know, his career was, you know, in the stratosphere way up though, and he had to go on tour. He had to go get some money, but you know, he left her doing it. What is that? Is that me?
What?
Somebody's got feedback.
No, are you hearing me?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, it might be my head. Somebody has feedback. Give me a second. But yeah, anyway, you know, he left her during a miscarriage. And miscarriage is kind of a little more serious for a woman than kind of an asthma attack. That's something he's kind of grown up with and been used to. I mean, I see his point, but then I see her point because she's probably been drugged a lot in the relationship. So,
dang.
Yeah, she's been drugged.
drugged through the mud.
You got drugged like that girl got thrown up under that car at Gilmore House, like that.
Another tale for another time.
But Erica was actually on Power 105.1 in New York, The Breakfast Club. She was on that last week, and she confirmed that her and Scrappy are no longer together in this current date.
Oh.
So, I mean, that wasn't surprising. I'm just glad she moved on.
Yeah, she ain't gonna do nothing but upgrade and get her football player. That's all she's gonna do. She's gonna get a football player, something like that.
I think she could do better. The chick, I think she's pretty, and it's just like, why you want to claim a dude with a front row of chiclets? I don't understand. But
she snapped. I ain't gonna go that far on screen. That'd be cool but she can do better because, and a lot of dudes gonna hate me, but look, here's my opinion. Erica looks better than Shay. I'm sorry, man. Shay cool right now, but you know, after a couple of kids, you know, or you know, it's like why I tell some strippers sometimes, man. I said, look, man, you know, you're a Big Mac away from retirement, man. You need to slow down. So that's pretty much how Shay's joint is going right now. But you know, Brandy already said it the other week that I can already see her and Scrappy. They're going for that VH1 I Love. It's going to be I Love Shay. That's what she wants it to be. But it's going to be Scrappy and Shay. And in a funny sense, just how ignorant VH1 is, that's like, it's like right up their alley. Like, I just see, I can see people viewing Scrappy and Shay. And Scrappy trying to resurrect his career, being on, like, her reality show or whatever they do. But I see that's where they want to go.
Yeah, so Erica, don't spend
and she wasn't kind of classy in that. That wasn't like a classy move. Like, okay, you know they're trying to get back together. And then she says at the end, you know, she always did a terrible job of acting like she wasn't in the picture. And then like in the end, here's what she do at the end. She's like, well, you know, girl, you know, all fell in love and woe. And it's all like, come on, man. This girl don't even know you exist, man. You know, well, probably do. But, yeah, it wasn't a good look for Shay. So I was like, Shay, that's not a good look for you. But I know she's doing it for ratings. And, you know, her job is a reality show. So I ain't going to hold that against her.
All I got to say is Erica loses cool points just for being on that show.
Well, I don't think she going to have much. Her shelf life ain't that long. So
yeah, I don't think.
I hope she's cashing these checks and spending it wisely.
I think this is Erica's like first and last time. I think she's probably gonna be turned off from all entertainers and all this stuff after the show.
Yeah, I mean
you got a camera in your face all the time. And you have to read and memorize lines and stuff.
Well, they're not memorizing those lines. Come on, you left my child to die. You go handle that. You know, I'm telling you.
I ain't never knocked on no one.
The writers don't write handle that. Handle that is not a word. Handle that.
Oh, okay. They give them bullet points, excuse me.
Just like, all right. Just like the wrestlers.
I don't think they give them bullet points. I think they set up scenarios for them.
So it you just... don't think that the writer sat there and told K. Michelle to say, oh, this bitch shaking the table.
that is all K. Michelle, especially the fact that she had to let us know that she's from Tennessee and they don't play that in Tennessee. And I'm like, what that got to do with anything?
Who is Shay?
No, she's saying that she's from Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm just jumping back to y'all talking about Erica and Shay. I don't even know who Shay is.
You know, freaking
Flavor Love.
Oh, Bucky.
Bucky, yeah.
Oh,
tell him I'm gonna need you to keep.
You better call her by her reality show name.
She came on and said Shay Jackson. That's her new name on this show, but it's Bucky.
Yeah. Okay.
Bucky from Flavor Love 1, 2, and I don't know 3, and from what Charm School 1 and 2.
Brandy says she ugly.
She's not because she ain't cute. She just got dunked out. I'm gonna be honest with you.
She looks like a typical chick in Georgia.
Yeah. Like I said, she a Big Mac away from retirement. You know, I'm biased, but she a Big Mac away from retirement.
See a lot of those at Fort Valley.
Yeah, they Big Mac away from retirement, man. We need to get them on the Mighty Healthy program. That's the story.
Side note: I saw one of those Flavor of Love chicks at a homecoming one year. This was after I graduated.
Yes, it's not a lucrative career. I don't know who I'm mad at. I don't know if I'm mad at her for coming or for Fort Valley for paying her to come.
She was just walking through the crowd. She was just like a normal person. She wasn't actually, you know, like someone's
being paid for.
Yeah, she wasn't getting paid for it. Yeah,
I mean, you sure? You sure? You know,
she was just trying to find her a seat.
Well, they got a life, man. They want to watch some football, man. You know, life goes on.
Wish I remember which one it was. She was kind of light skinned.
That's like 10 of them.
Yeah.
That narrows it down.
What else happened?
Speaking of dropping lines, last week the dudes got in a fight that was between Scrappy, Stevie J, Jose was another dude that was in that rumble. But this week was all about the true females getting a little quote-unquote cat fight on. It was between K. Michelle and Carly Red. I think that's what she goes by. The quote from that was K. Michelle's line, "Don't shake unless you're ready to get shook." Apparently, the girls met up with Mimi and they wanted to clear the air. Mimi was kind of like, in between the two, she's the glue between the two friends. She has a relationship with K. Michelle. She has a past friendship with Carly. So they're just now becoming friends again, reuniting. And she served as the quote-unquote mediator, pretty much telling Carly that every time she goes to a K. Michelle event, she opened up her mouth exposing somebody's dirty laundry, pretty much putting Mimi's ass out there saying, damn, your dude is a hoe, like, get it together. Can't you notice that? Because everybody see it. K. Michelle got a little upset, was just like, I don't appreciate being around people like you. You starting shit, and who are you? You're 40 years old trying to be an R&B diva, but you ain't even got a Wikipedia page. It was just a lot of stuff going on back and forth between them. And pretty much, Carly was quiet for a good little minute while K. Michelle was popping off at the mouth, and apparently she heard enough, and she grabbed the table, and shook it, was like, bitch, you won't know. So that was funny. K. Michelle, of course, it's almost like you got to top that. So you got to say something real slick and you got to get the splat as she did. So she came out with a dope shake line. And that's what she was talking about. Where she from? Don't mess with me. And you don't know what I've been through to be threatening me. I fights and I do all this stuff. Producers interjected by this time and pushed K. Michelle to the bathroom. And it was kind of weird because I've been to the restaurant they actually went. They were in, and that place was so small. It was obvious how small the place was because K. Michelle's in the bathroom getting herself together, and Carly's still at the table just
and you can hear. I mean, you can hear her like without them having to do no editing and put a boom mic back there. You can like hear K. Michelle in the bathroom,
right
at the table with Mimi. And like, come on, man.
Yeah,
I wanted them. I want them let them fight, man. Cause I want to see a titty or something pop out of them, tell some stuff.
They too pretty to be fighting.
No, they ain't. Not Kylie. Kylie is grimy down and dirty, and you know, I hope she get to it, because Kylie, I feel, I don't know what the deal is with her. Like, you know, Jose, you know, Jose was putting out dirt about Mimi's past, but, you know, Jose was like, you know, Mimi, you're not special because you used to, well, you know, she said that she had relations, you know. I don't know if it's true, and it's true, Mimi didn't say nothing about it, but that she had relations with certain people in the industry before Stevie J, and that she was just basically a video vixen and just a groupie, and said that. And, you know, I don't know, but I do feel like Kylie is, or was. Now, I don't know about Mimi. Mm-hmm. I feel Kylie is, you know. I'm like, okay. And when Brandon gets to the Benzino part, then yeah, it'll really come out. Benzino, yes. And with Stevie J. Like, this is what the, come on, man.
So. Yeah, she apparently, Benzino, she caught Benzino's eye. She went to go check out Stevie J and his little band. I guess that's his hobby. They were on stage practicing for a show that's probably not going to happen. And
this is the only part of the show I caught, by the way, was I saw her dancing or singing, and Jocelyn walked in, right?
Yeah, that was the second girl fight. Well, actually, that was the first girl fight of the show.
Did they fight?
They didn't fight. It was just a little verbal altercations going on. And Carly's main purpose was to meet up with Stevie J to really, she's trying to be put on. Nobody's paying her any attention. Nobody's taking her seriously. So she decides that, hey, I'm going to name drop. So she lets Stevie know that, look, you need to be fucking with me because I'm a Cash Money chick. And as soon as Cash Money came out of her mouth, Stevie was all in. He was just like, word,
Who's a Cash Money chick?
She's supposed to be, and you know what? I got something to kind of interject on that. First of all, the person who probably gets a lot of consultant movie, and he might even have production rights on this little show that we've been amused about and talking about for a couple of weeks now,
right?
Is my man Benzino. Yeah. Benzino is famous for Source magazine. For a while, he bought some of the rights to Source, along the original owner of Source, before they were unceremoniously kicked out of their magazine due to the fact that, him and Benzino was going a little bit rampant, going after certain rappers and not giving certain rappers their props because they had, I don't know, a grudge or just didn't feel, you know, that they were it. And you know, that went completely against Source magazine's ethics. You know, Source is like, if you're hot, we're gonna put you on. But after a while, you know, they messed up. Then they came out with Hip Hop Weekly. So he has Hip Hop Weekly out now, which is a gossip column magazine for rap, which is like right there with what? I guess it's National Choir for Black People. Yeah. National Choir for Black People. Like, it's not his best publication. So I think they came to him and said, dude, can you get us a show? And he's like, can I get you a show? I can get you a show for cheap because I got people that ain't been doing nothing, like Stevie J, nothing. I mean, Jose, I don't know about Jose. I think Jose made more stripping than she's going to make with Stevie J. Plus, I mean, she lost a lot of points. Okay, well, she didn't lose that many points to me, but if she ever could have got some points with me, then she lost them with Stevie J when he got on his pimp stroll and was like, look, you going to do this song. You know, she's like, no, Stevie J, I don't want to do this song. I don't want to do this at all. I don't want to do this. It's no feel right. No. He's like, look, man, if you want to be on this record, you know how he gets when he grimaces? I'm going to do my Stevie J because my voice almost sounds like his in real life. You know, you going to do this for me. You know, grin on my face, you know you're going to do this. And then, you know, and they went on and she's like, okay, I do one song. And these two chicks can't stand each other. And I'm like, okay. Then I don't know what neither one of them really do. Like, she rapped, I think. Carly. Yeah, she rapped, but it wasn't good. Song,
or is that, no, that's K. Michelle that sings.
K. Michelle sings. Yeah, K. Michelle sings.
Who raps. Mm-hmm. Carly, she's just trying to get in where she fit in. So depends on who she's talking to is what she can do. Because if you say you're an R&B producer, she's a singer. If you say you're a Cash Money rep, she's a rapper.
Yeah.
And she has a, she's from Trinidad or something like that. So that's her little spin on whatever it is that you think or she thinks you want to hear.
I almost threw up when Benzino was spin game to her.
Oh my gosh. But before we get there, so Stevie and Carly over here talking about how they could do a collab. She's throwing the Cash Money affiliation in the air, piquing Stevie's interest. In the middle of this conversation, Jose, aka Jocelyn, walks in. And you know Jocelyn, she's supposed to be about her business. She's supposed to be about trying to get put on with the studio time with Stevie, but she can't see past that's her man. So she's just like, what? She sits at the table, it's like, what the hell going on here? Like, now you trying to push up on my man. Anytime somebody with Stevie, she swear they fucking. So that brings them to get in an argument, and she's like pulling Stevie aside and was like, why are you trying to work with her? We ain't got no two studios time to share, blah, blah, blah. He's trying to calm her down in his true pimp fashion. Was like, well, Ma, calm down. What are you talking about? I just want to do a song together. And she's just like, well, if she wants to do a song so bad, she wants to do a collaboration, why don't she just do something with Nicki Minaj? She's so Cash Money. So, on Twitter, as I was watching TV, I saw that Mac Maine, who's supposed to be Young Money's president, he actually tweeted something that says, my phone's currently blowing up about a reality chick saying she signed with us. Lies told on TV. So I guess that confirms that she's not really affiliated. So, in other words,
in the name drop, who really wants to be like with Cash Money? I mean, if you're not Drake and Nicki, then why? Like, really, why? I mean, you know, you got what's his name? Tiger. Yeah, you got Tiger. But look, all three of them are getting ready to go somewhere else as soon as their contract is up. From Cash Money, if Wayne doesn't let his little feelings get involved and he doesn't wreck their careers, so I think that's not one to drop. I mean, and Jose made a good point. Jose said, if she's with Cash Money, then why don't you do a song with Nicki Minaj then? Why don't you get us to do a song with Nicki Minaj? And see that kind of crushed that right then. Jose said that.
Yeah, that's the but. Carly still felt a little, you could tell she was a little confident. She walked out the building with a smile, and it caught Benzino's eye.
No, it didn't. That Woody caught his eye.
No, that was afterwards. Well, yeah, because she had
She had passed by, and he was like, what did he say? Excuse me, miss? Excuse me, lady. I was like, you know how she stopped and waited because she ain't never heard that before? Because, she wanted to hear, hey, bitch. But, hey, bitch, hey, come on over here.
Yeah, so Benzino, old ass Benzino, spit his game. I'm convinced that all she saw was the car he was driving. Because I'm like,
thank you. They hit the nail right on the head. Because it's like, if you're standing by that BMW, it's like, anybody looks good by that BMW. It's like, wow.
So, that's all she saw. The more he tried to talk about, oh, you cute, you this, you single, no, you got a man, blah, blah.
Yes,
the whole time her face. I mean, if you just watch her eyes, she was scoping the interior and everything. And her smile got wider and wider the more she thought about being in the passenger seat.
Yeah. Her head was bobbing. She had a whole bobblehead action going, and her little eyes was like little dollar signs. Like, uh-huh. Like, he's talking like, you think I can have your number? And she like, yeah, come on, yeah, here you go.
Yeah, so we gonna see how smart she can really work a situation. That depends on whether or not we see an upcoming spread in Hip Hop Weekly featuring Carly. If she could pull that, she's a good chick. She might be able to drop a one hit wonder or something, but if she can't even get a couple of pages in the magazine,
I don't think she's getting that because now I know Tim, and I agree. I know Tim that Benzino seemed weak on that part, but I get that feeling from Benzino that he's on some real old street pimp, lock your chick in the back of a car and beat her angles. Because he's real. He's a little bit too sugar daddy and too nice right now.
Isn't he 40 something? He just looks old.
Don't talk about nobody 40. Well, he's light skinned. You know how they do. You know him light skinned.
He should have been like her father.
He is old as hell.
Well, I mean, she's the same age. She doesn't look that young now. Kylie, she shows some age. She got some crow's feet, man.
What's her name?
Carly. K-A-R-L-I-E. I think she's up there because that was one of K Michelle's biggest little shots at her. Was just like she's a 40-year-old trying to get a come up.
No, it's not a diss, dude, but you can tell she's up there from the neck and from eyes and from her hands and stuff, you know, because, you know, she got that skeletal action with them hands. So, I mean, you can kind of tell. Nothing against her. She's all right. She look good for her age. She's all right. So, you know, I just, you know, I hope this being a bad guy and on this show works out for her, you know.
I doubt it. Like, my advice to Erica, I hope she cashed some checks and is spending them wisely because they probably not going to return.
No, they won't.
I'm sure they won't.
And I will say she is like probably the prettiest on the show.
Carly?
No, not Carly. No, I'm talking about Erica.
Okay.
Erica's a nice looking girl. Erica's.
She's a nice girl.
Yeah, she's nice and hood sweet. She trying with Scrappy. And he gonna regret that when he get with Shay, because you know. That, you know, I'm like, come on, dog. I don't, but that's for the show. I mean, I think they both had that worked out. That's really for the show, so.
But hey, however, what they do to get on is none of my concern. I'm just happy that they open up their lives for me to comment on. Because without them, I would not have my reality check.
That's true. Also, K Michelle isn't as crazy as people were saying. Cause I really wanted to see her fight and really go at it. I'm like, she ain't go at it. No, I wanted K Michelle to throw a high heel. I want her to get really crazy. Like when she shook the table and she was like, ooh, they're shaking the table. I thought she was just going to turn the table over and just be at it.
That's all she did was just shake it.
She stabilized it. She didn't shake it. She shook it and she stabilized it. Like, you shaking the table and she just like stop shaking the table. Like, exactly. She was a child or something. Like, no.
It was almost like she gave the producers a little cue, like, all right, come get me now. Like, this is my exit pass.
A lot of people showed up there real quick. Like, they were like, bam. Scramble. It was like two attendants, a lady over on the side, and some dudes already popped up on the camera. Like, we was like, you know, like we were looking at Cheetos, like just waiting for them. So I'm like, okay. But, you know, I'm a little disappointed because, you know, I never thought K Michelle was crazy. You know, people say, how is she crazy? First of all, she's an R&B chick. R&B chicks, then they got a little bit of a right to be a little bit crazy. Anybody in entertainment that wants to be an entertainer to me
needs to be diva.
No, but they have a right to be a little bit crazy. I don't know anything really about that industry except from what I read and from what I hear, like interviews and stuff with people later. But it's like those record deals and just the stuff they have to do is like nonsense. Like they'll be like, you know, they'll do a record. It doesn't do good. And then it's like they get blamed for a record when the label, you know, like the label will blame them for a record that the label wanted. Like they'll be like, oh, well, can you change this? And they change this. They change that. Then when the record tanks, they're like, oh, man, you know what? You suck. We need to drop you. And, you know, they're like, well, I'm doing what you said, you know, do. So that would drive anybody crazy. Just trying to please us as, you know, as consumers would drive you nuts. Because, you know, nobody's ever happy. And everybody's always, can't it be better than the last one? No, it can't. But anyway.
And that does it for the reality check.
That's it. Tune in next week to see what I got to say about episode 6, Love & Hip Hop, ATL, Shotty.
And once again, we want to thank Brandy for joining us. And normally right now we move on to Mr. Bamp's new Blu-ray releases, but since he's not here, he was nice enough to email me some new releases that he had on his radar. First up, he had Lockout, which is starring Guy Pearce and Maggie Grace, The Three Stooges, and Get the Gringo, starring Mel Gibson. The only movie of... Actually, I was going to say the only movie of these three I've
even heard of was the Three Stooges, but I remember seeing commercials for that Lockout movie where it's a prison in space, I think.
Yeah. And I just started seeing the previews for Get the Gringo from Old Mail.
I thought that was a new movie coming out, but it's actually...
No, I did too, but it's a DVD, so... Yeah. Well, excuse me, Blu-ray.
Yeah, Blu-ray.
Yep.
Straight to Blu-ray. But yes, that's Mr. Bant's new Blu-ray releases. We still are working on a title, and once, like he said on last week's show, anyone that has any ideas for what the title of this his segment should be, make sure to send them to us through email, theclicknation@gmail.com, or if you want to tweet it to us, you can do that as well.
Yeah, and also if you guys like want me to have a show and you want me to do something, then kind of give me one. As long as it's not, Jetstream shut the fuck up, then we cool.
Yeah. Go ahead and let people know what things interest you. Maybe some people will holler at you and give some ideas.
All particular randomness, hip hop, mainly music, man. Anything with music. Like I said, me and Gilmore and Brandy, we were supposed to kind of get together and do a thing. Me and Gilmore was very excited about Brandy having another musical person on the show, so we were very excited about that. So anything with some music, because that new Frank Ocean is hot, and just what people think about that, just some music industry stuff. Can they sing? Can they really not sing? And I promise I'm not gonna rant and want stuff to be like the old days. I didn't gave that up.
And Gilmore would be Mr. Banff. He's referring
yes.
to.
I'm yes. sorry, Mr. Banff. I'm sorry
for anyone that might have been confused.
Yeah.
But yeah, since all y'all are music people and I'm not, so maybe y'all need to... I keep saying we'll do a music episode and I'll just let y'all talk and I'll listen or do something in the background.
Let me and Mr. Banff argue, that's what it'll boil down to.
Yeah, maybe we can, with all the summer movies over with, maybe in the next couple weeks we'll do that. But so now we're going to move on over to some Click Nation news. This section of the Click Nation podcast is brought to you by the Adam Black.
All right. It was a light week. I didn't really have much to go on. No, Tim is probably going to do a Comic-Con episode, so I figured I'd skip the majority of that stuff anyway.
You were correct.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's coming up. I'm supposed to be taping that tomorrow, so look for that. Next episode of Comic Book Chronicles to be coming up based off of the Comic-Con 2012 International, all the news that was released with that. And stay tuned for special guest or guests. Keep going.
Of course. All right. One thing right now, remember the Chevy Chase Vacation movies from back in the day. They're trying to get Ed Helms to star on them. It won't be a reboot. It will be like a continuation because he'll play Rusty Griswold, the son of Chevy Chase from the original films. Oh. And basically he'll be the, it'll be his franchise to take over. I guess technically it would be a reboot since they're pretty much trying to get put some juice back in the franchise since been a while.
I mean, it'd just be a continuation if he's just playing the son. It's not like he'd be playing Chevy Chase's character.
Yeah, at first that's why I thought they were going for, but which I was like, I don't know if Ed Helms is funny, but I don't know if I would put him in that role. Mm-hmm. If he's doing it pretty much, as one of the original characters, I figured that would be cool.
Nice.
Yep. Proving it was really light. As of last week, Young Buck was sentenced to 18 months in prison on weapons charges. He's headed to prison.
It ain't so, man. Not Young Buck. Not Get Buck.
Yeah, Get Buck is on.
Not that guy that stabbed. Not that guy that stabbed somebody with a salad fork. That was so gangster. that was gangster, So, he got practice. So now he's in jail. So,
I saw a picture of him online, and he wasn't looking too good.
Oh, he ain't been looking good since he cried at 50. Like, yo, man, come on, I fucked up. Yeah, I know, homie, I know.
That was years ago.
I know.
and I'm recording this conversation, and I'm going to play it on the radio.
No, no, I'm going to play it on my website and then leak it to the radio.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put it on YouTube.
Oh, man. But, yeah, he's headed to prison for being a convicted felon in possession of firearms and ammo, which were found when the IRS raided his Nashville mansion in 2010. And today, as in last week, he was officially sentenced to 3 years. It was originally up to 10 years, though he will serve his two counts concurrently, so he will only actually spend 18 months locked up.
Oh, man, I kind of feel sorry. Young Buck can't catch a break, man. First he got dropped by Cash Money, then he got with 50, and then his money got screwed up, and dude just can't catch a break, man.
Yeah, he's been dealing with a bankruptcy case related to his contract dispute with G-Unit. I've had some rough times, he said. I've been fighting the bankruptcy situation, and there were some court situations, but he managed to stay positive, saying, my pride is through the roof, my head is hell hot, and I'm just going to get all this behind me. So there you go.
Well, that's good for Young Bucks. That's good for him.
Yeah, I wish I could, you know, get the concurrent life prison terms if I ever had to go to jail, but, you know, I'm trying not to do that.
Please don't.
Yeah, don't, dude.
Yeah, I wouldn't do good in jail. One little bit of San Diego news. This was just a report about Digital Comics. Digital Comics went boom last year, mainly, especially after the release of 52. You know, pretty much every comic book company has an app out where you can download their comics. I have some on my phone right now. And driven by saturation of iPads and other tablets, people with disposable income, you know, pretty much helped the boom of, digital comics. One thing they did notice is that even though digital comics have risen, the sale of physical comics is still, you know, it's still going, which I was really shocked.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
I'm kind of not, dude. I mean,
blame it on Avengers.
I don't even
think it's that, dude.
Blame it all on Avengers.
They've been leaning for years toward trying to really get that digital out, and it's just taking them a minute. I think it's just a generational thing where the real comic book heads that are in our age bracket, we still love comic books and we still want to collect and we still hold on to the dream that this comic we buy today may be worth something, or unless you just like to collect them. Like, we're just not at that, you know, let's download and, you know, comic and all that. You know, I still enjoy just reading a comic and just handing somebody a comic book rather than, you know, I'll download, transfer that. But, you know, with the new Galaxy 3S, you know, bumping the phone together, you know, once it comes out on other phones, and I guess it'll make it easier to, you know, move comic books around.
That is true. But if you have the, you know, with the iPad and the iPhone, you know, if you download, you know, you can share amongst the accounts or whatever if you have your accounts linked. So you could.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you got to really make it dumb for people. Like, you know, bumping the phone doesn't get no more dumb down than that. Like, you can't bump a phone like you just touch, you know, bump, touch. You know, you're not scrolling through. You're not going to sync, link, account, going over here. You don't have to ask for no email. You just do that. So, I mean, I think it's just a generational thing that when younger kids now are into doing that, they're into getting more probably comic books digitally, and I think that it's going to pick up, you know, once they get older.
Yeah. But yeah, so that I'm just happy that, you know, I was really scared that, you know, the physical media was going to die, which, you know, I definitely don't want for comic books. All right. The next story came out on Monday. Hollywood Reporter reported Click Nation favorite Anthony Mackie is in talks to play Falcon in the Captain America sequel, which is now subtitled Winter Soldier.
So, okay. All right. Okay. That's cool. Eclectic. I would like him as Black Panther, but
Eclectic made a good point of mentioning how, you know, it's titled The Winter Soldier, which is Bucky, Cap's old partner. Now they're introducing his new partner, Falcon. Sort of just how that plays off of one another.
Yeah. He's a good actor. It's, you know, and, you know, I'll be happy to see, you know, another African-American character on the screen, you know, or comic book character, excuse me, on the screen. So even though he won't be able to play the, well, you never know, but, you know, it's doubtful if there is a Black Panther movie.
I mean, that's what I was just about to say, because I'm just glad, you know, at first I was like, oh, I really want to be Black Panther, but then I thought to myself, you know what, I'm a little bit happy with him just getting his role, because I know Captain America 2 is coming out, and that he's going to get a chance to act. Because we don't know about Black Panther, because there have been a million comic books with black characters. Like what? Like Luke Cage has been like greenlit and been in the works like for years. Like the last time I heard about it, they had let what's his name?
Singleton.
Yeah, they were going to let Singleton do it, and he wanted to put his boy Tyrese in there as Luke Cage.
Ooh.
And I'm like, nah, dude. I'm like, you can't. I mean, it might have worked. I might have seen his point, because I think he was trying to give Luke Cage more of, if you had Tyrese in it, then it would be more believable that he does have superpowers. You know, Therese's little self, you know, running through brick walls and throwing over cars. Yeah, that would look amazing. You know, if Vin Rames does it, you like, yeah, he work out. But Tyrese do it, yeah, it got to be some kind of superpowers.
Yeah. But Mr. Banff, I had texted him about this the other day, he put in a new candidate for Black Panther. It's Aldis Hodge. If you don't
Leverage,
he's cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He may have to bulk up a little bit, but I think he can pull off the accent, because in that show he has to do all types of thievery and stuff like that.
He's had to put on an accent before in a couple of cases.
I think he would still be good, because the way they could do Black Panther, since he's pretty much the equivalent of Batman, I think they could put him in the suit. So once he's in the suit, you know, I think it'll work out for him. Plus, the Black Panther still kind of a lean. You know, he's kind of a lean, mean kind of killer machine. He just bulked up a couple of years ago, getting where he was kind of bigger than he used to be.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's our vote for it. So maybe we can see it. The last bit of news is Disney or Pixar has pretty much, laid out what they're going to do for the next few years as far as their summer movies. In 2016, they're going to do a sequel to Finding Nemo.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, I like that one. I like Finding Nemo. So,
they've done two sequels already, Toy Story and a follow-up to Cars. In 2013, they're going to do their first prequel to Monsters and Inc. called Monsters University.
A prequel?
Yeah.
I mean, it comes before the other ones, right?
Right, yeah. It comes before it. It's going to be when they're in school, before Sully and what's his name? Became friends.
I haven't really watched them.
Yeah, Monsters was pretty good. That was pretty
I don't really remember that one, but that one would be, they bring him back. If Billy Crystal's going to be in it, I like it, because I like Billy Crystal, so that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. They're going to do in 2014 The Good Dinosaur, a film that explores a world still ruled by dinosaurs. I wonder if not the mama baby will be in it, but I think that's going to be something else.
Nah, too many rights to go through. Well, no, that was an ABC show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, Disney owns that. Never mind.
Dun 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 dun. No, okay, I'm sorry. On June 19, 2015, there's an untitled Pixar movie that takes you inside the mine. And they don't have no title for it yet. So that's pretty much the slate of movies they got coming up. Pixar, they make good movies. I haven't watched all of them, but the ones I've seen are pretty good. I think, I never saw Bug's Life, excuse me. And, I think the best one was The Incredibles, so. but I'm a superhero guy.
Yeah, Incredibles is good. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it was a lot of nice. It was just a nice twist on how they kind of put the superheroes in the real life situation of superheroes, you know, being responsible for, you know, the collateral damage that usually happens in comic books that we don't ever talk about.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I had pretty much. Like I said, it really wasn't. I mean, with, you know, of course, with Comic-Con, a lot of stuff coming out, a lot of stuff hit the internets pretty hard. I did hear one thing about Dark Knight Rises, which comes out this week. It's already tracking to be the best non-3D movie ever as far as opening wise.
Oh.
If it weren't for the fact that, you know, because even though it will be an IMAX, the problem is there are less IMAX theaters than there are 3D theaters. Because with 3D, it doesn't take much, you know, to get them prepared. Whereas IMAX, excuse me, you have the screen and all that stuff. But yeah, it's supposed to open big. You know, there's theories that they may take Avengers, but it's kind of doubtful. It's going to be kind of tough for them to do that without having any 3D screens.
Yes, and the Click Nation will be assembling to watch it all together.
Yep, yes, we will. But I think Batman is going to do it, man. I think it's going to rival your precious Avengers, Tim.
We'll see.
Well, you know what? Well, I don't know. I still think it's going to be probably better. But one thing kind of hurting Batman is that the fact it's not it's a little serious, and I don't think a lot of parents are really going to take their kids out to see Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, and it's really long. I can't imagine a kid sitting through that, you know, and, you know, Batman has some serious dialogue. I mean, yeah, be it, there's not that much cursing in it, but, you know, kids not, you know, for that simple fact that kids aren't really going to enjoy it. Not many kids are really going to enjoy it, you know, be it they are marketing toys for it. And I'm like, all right, y'all. But I digress.
Cool.
All right. That's all I had.
So we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to discuss the two movies that lead into The Dark Knight Rises, and that's Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You've changed things. Forever. There's no going back. See, to them, you're just a freak. Like me.
What do we got?
Nothing. No name, no other alias. Clothing is custom. Nothing in his pockets but knives and lint.
Evening, Commissioner. Why so serious?
Where is he?
People are dying. What would you have me do?
Endure. You can be the outcast. You can make the choice that no one else will face. The right choice. Gotham needs you.
A little fight in you. I like that.
Then you're gonna love me.
Now that's more like it, Mr. Wayne.
It's all part of the plan. Hit me!
And we're back. So, like I said before the break, we're going to be talking about Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises. But first, we're going to start off with the movie that kickstarted this new franchise for Warner Brothers and rejuvenated the Batman franchise, and that's Batman Begins. And Batman Begins is a 2005 American superhero film based on the fictional DC Comics character Batman, and it's directed by Christopher Nolan. It stars Christian Bale as Batman, along with Michael Caine, who plays Alfred, Liam Neeson, Katie Holmes, Gary Oldman, Cillian Murphy, Morgan Freeman, Ken Watanabe, Tom Wilkinson, and Rutger Hauer. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And the film reboots the Batman film series, telling the origin story of the character, and begins with Bruce Wayne's initial fears of bats, the death of his parents, and his journey to become Batman. And it draws some inspiration from classic comic book storylines such as The Man Who Falls, Batman Year One, and Batman The Long Halloween.
The Long Halloween was written by Jeff Loeb, one of his better stories. See, he was good at one point.
I was just about to boo him. Maybe I'll look up the Batman Long Halloween.
I mean, he did some good stuff back in the day.
We used to collect some Jeff Loeb books, I thought. Then he was like X-Force.
He did X-Force. He did Cable. He did good jobs on those titles.
Refresh my memory. What storylines, when he took over X-Force, what storylines did they do?
He took over after the Age of Apocalypse. Cannonball graduated to
the X-Men.
To the X-Men. It was drawn by Adam Pollina. Can't really remember a lot of the storylines, you know, exactly, but... Mm-hmm. He did a good job.
Who led the team then?
Cable was still on the team at that point. Oh. Cable had left and came back by this time.
I've got some of our comics, by the way.
Liberate them?
I've been slowly bringing them back. So yeah. I have some of those books. They're all upstairs. I need to refresh your memory on it. Do some reading.
Yes, sir. Long Halloween was a good story.
Cool. So, like we said, it's funny because I remember when Batman Begins came out, I didn't really have any thoughts or opinions on it. I was just like, oh, there's a new Batman coming out. It's all dark and it's, you know, retelling his origin story. And no preconceived notions. And I went and saw it and was like, hey, this is pretty good. And, yeah. You know, I always liked movies, but I never paid attention to, like, who directed a film or anything like that. So I didn't even know who Christopher Nolan was. But after Batman Begins, and of course the years following, it's like, okay, I know who this guy is, and start paying more attention to him. And of course Dark Knight came out, and then Inception came out. It's like, yeah, this guy makes good movies.
Yeah, he does. I mean, you know, he just took what was there and just really, I mean... He didn't mess with the formula. He stripped everything down for Bruce Wayne in the beginning, and really, I like how they basically, you know, made him like basically a criminal. He basically just dipped out of life once his, you know, after his parents had died, and you know just was, you know, on a quest, you know, basically. I saw it last night, and I was still amazed at it.
Yeah, FX was showing that. I kind of had it on in the background as I was getting ready for bed.
Yeah, I watched a lot, so I liked a lot of stuff about it. I liked some of the realism about it that he, you know, you you read the comic books, and you read the comic books, and you read some of the other movies that don't really do his. You know, this movie is like his year one, so they don't like the part where. You know, Black Adam said about him going to be a thief. Also, just, you know, it kind of filled in the blank for some of his years when he went off training. Like, the comic book says that he was gone. Some comic books, depending on which one you read, says he's gone like 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, you know, training.
I can't remember if they said how long he was supposed to have been gone in the...
I think in the movie he was only gone like 7. I think he was only gone like 7 years.
Oh, okay.
So, like, he left out when he was, like, in his, wasn't he in college? He was, like, maybe a sophomore, I think a freshman or sophomore in college.
And just dipped out of life. Yeah. And just, you know, He was still technically, you know, the heir apparent to the Wayne Foundation. And, while he was, on this sabbatical, basically.
Yeah, thank God they didn't have Mitt Romney or one of the Republicans running the company for him. He would have came back to nothing.
So, I guess I can read some of the plot here. As a child, Bruce Wayne falls into an abandoned well filled with bats, causing him to develop a phobia, and later witness his parents' murder at the hands of mugger Joe Chill, leaving him to be raised by the family's butler, Alfred Pennyworth. Years later, Chill is granted parole in exchange for agreeing to testify against crime boss Carmine Falcone. Bruce, now a young man, goes to the courthouse intent to shoot Chill, but one of Falcone's assassins does so first. And this is just basically giving the whole plot, which we had to go through the whole movie. But let's see, we had Christian Bale starring as Batman. You think that was a good choice?
I'll be honest, in the beginning I was like, no, because I had just seen him in this movie. I don't know if it's an independent flick, but I saw him in a movie called The Mechanic.
Was that the one where he lost all that weight?
Yeah, he got real skinny. He was eating like half an apple a day to prepare for the role. Jeez. And he got really skinny, and Christian Bale was always kind of a thin guy anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, he's kind of thin to be
Batman.
Just to be Batman, thin in the face. You know, everybody else kind of was a little more fuller in the face when you put the suit on him, but he was just kind of thin all the way around. And he was a good actor, because I remember for the first Batman, if I'm correct, he bulked up for that one. I know for the first two movies he bulked up.
Yeah.
And he did pretty good. Like I said, I wasn't sure about him. You know, the only beef I have is on, like, we'll get to that part when we get to Dark Knight. I don't like the voice thing they did with him on the on the Dark Knight, that auto-tune, yeah.
It's not having him sound like Assie McGee.
Yeah.
But I thought, Bale did a good job. I wasn't sure. The only movie I had seen of him was in American Psycho, and that movie just fucking weird anyway. But yeah, that was the only thing I had really, I think that was like the only movie I had ever seen him in. Right. And like I said, that was just a different movie altogether. So, you had to go in watching Batman, with a little apprehension, but once it got going, I think he did a really good job. You really felt for his pain, his anger in the beginning of the movie. When he's dealing with his parents' death, and it's something he just never really, got over.
What were y'all two impressions about just them rebooting the franchise?
It needed it.
It needed it, but I wasn't that happy with it. Like I said, I went to Dark Knight to Batman Begins with a lot of reservations. Then once I saw the movie, and they did a great job with it, and I was like, okay. And, and Dark Knight, like, blew my mind. That's the one that changed pretty much everything.
Yeah, changed the game. We'll get to that in a little later, of course. As far as acting, Bale, it was, I guess it's always, I always wonder how they come to these selections for these movies, because, like, Bale, I never would have thought of him. But I guess he fits, like, the young, like, Bruce Wayne-ish type looking individual, at least when he's, like, clean-cut looking.
Well, yeah. I mean, the way that Nolan is doing his movie is all of this is really, like, early in, like, his career. The first one is year one. Mm-hmm. And then The Dark Knight is really, I think it's, like, maybe it might be maybe a couple of months or maybe a year later.
Right.
Mm-hmm. After the first one, because he gives at the end, Commissioner Gordon gives him the car, this new psycho running around, the Joker.
Yeah.
He hasn't been been Batman for like a while. He's got for year one, Joker maybe year two, or still in year one, but like the end of the month or whatever. And then you have him now, which this movie takes place 8 years after The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
So, you know, now after 8 years, he is pretty much the should be the Batman that we're used to after 8 years.
What did you guys think of the villain choice?
It was good not to start off right with the Joker.
Yeah. I did too.
I didn't like it till they set it up because I just didn't like Liam Neeson playing Ra's al Ghul. The same way I felt about when he played Qui-Gon. I was like, I didn't like it, but one, you know, Liam Neeson, we know when you're a good actor and, you know, you do a good job acting, they make it work and they change your complete mind. Like now, Qui-Gon can't be nobody but him. And, you know, same for Ra's al Ghul. Because I'm like, damn, y'all can't, you know, one of my things in the comic book, Ra's al Ghul is something ethnic. Let's just say that, you know. And the cheesy makeup job they gave him in the first one was like, okay. But, you know, he acted through it. I thought his little goatee thing was kind of cheesy to have on him. But for the Dark Knight, not for Dark Knight, but for Batman Begins.
It's funny because when I think of Batman Begins, I actually don't even think about Ra's al Ghul being the villain. I think of Scarecrow. I forgot Ra's was even in it.
Well, it's one of them things that Nolan has been good at doing is putting his villains kind of in there together. It doesn't normally happen in a Batman comic a little bit, but not much. But he did kind of slap them in there together. Although his Scarecrow, like I said, all of his characters are more based on reality. So his Scarecrow is not.
You would have automatically thought it would have been like someone really like in the Batman animated series version.
Yeah.
Where he's just like I mean, even though Cillian played a nerd, you didn't think he was, you know, I guess you would think of him more of the little cheesy, little cowardly, you know, gets the crap kicked out of him all the time, but Cillian had a little edge to him, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and he was kind of like, he was like Scarecrow just like starting off,
mm-hmm.
kind of, so he doesn't have the costume or whatever. You know, he was really kind of a middleman for the,
which
you know,
we found out in the movie.
For Ra's al Ghul, so he was a middleman.
And it's funny, because usually the first movie just deals with one villain, and then second movie you double it. They start off right after Rip with two villains,
yeah.
And they, like you just said, they sort of crafted it perfectly. Of you know, having Scarecrow kind of be the middleman to Ra's.
And the one thing that was different about this, the start of this franchise, as compared to all the those first four Batman movies that start off with Tim Burton's Batman. This movie was pretty much about Bruce Wayne and Batman. It wasn't about so much the villains. They had their role and that was good, but they didn't overshadow Batman. That was the thing I really liked. It truly was about Batman. This is how he began, you know, his career of fighting crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think another thing he did, too, that Nolan kind of got away from in this movie is this Batman is not so much focused on his gadgets. So the first movie is not that much. He doesn't have that many gadgets in this movie. It's dealing with mainly him just getting into the fact of being, you know, trying to get Batman down pat instead of, you know, the other movies he had. You know, the Batmobile, which was awesome in the first two. Now, you know, I love the Tumbler. The Tumbler's awesome, but it's still not the regular, quote-unquote, normal Batmobiles.
Right. Like a tank.
Well, yeah. It was, you know, but it makes sense, though. I mean, it's Batman. Batman is an urban warrior. That was an urban assault vehicle. Yeah.
Sound like G.I. Joe.
Yes.
That's what that was, man. I mean, it wasn't, you know, if you wanted to scare bad guys, you would scare bad guys with that thing.
Mm-hmm. So that's the villains. And, of course, the story, like we said, led through Batman sort of learning the ropes and then coming to
to Gotham City's rescue, having to stop both the Scarecrow and Ra's al Ghul, the man who sort of taught him the ways of, I guess he's teaching ways of fighting, or I guess he was just a mentor to him as he was.
I mean, mentor, period, because, you know, you find out he uses a lot of their stuff, like the forearm guards that he has, where Batman has the spikes in his forearm guards, and, you know, remember, right, he was fighting on the ice, they have the forearm guards from their little ninja sect and how to disappear and vanish and mainly how to fight.
Yeah. Oh. So good movie. Let's see, box office numbers for it. Batman Begins opened on June 15th, 2005 in United States and Canada, and it opened to 3,858 theaters, including 55 IMAX theaters, and it ranked at the top in its opening weekend, accumulating $48 million, $48+ million, which was seen as strong but unimpressive by today's instantaneous blockbuster standards. I wonder where they got that quote from. Anyway, the film's five-day gross was $72.9 million, beating Batman Forever as the franchise high. Batman Begins also broke the five-day opening record in the 55 IMAX theaters, grossing $3.16 million. And it's held its top spot for another weekend, accumulating over $27 million. It went on to gross $205 million plus domestically and had a worldwide total of $372 million. It's the third highest grossing Batman film to date, behind Tim Burton's Batman, which grossed $411 million worldwide, and The Dark Knight, which has grossed over $1 billion. So, and of course, we all own it on DVD. I'm thinking about upgrading from the DVD to the Blu-ray, since Best Buy wants to have sell it for $10, and if I trade in,
and I'll wait on the box set. Nolan's gonna have a whole box set on that after this. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, I just went ahead and upgraded it. Best Buy had in that steel case, so I just went ahead and did it.
Did you get it? So you got it for $5? You got it for $5?
It was $5?
Well, they got just the Blu-ray is $5, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's not probably not the non-box set.
No.
So you got the box set with both movies?
No, I just got I didn't get the box set. I just got the one movie because at the time it was on sale, I think, for $10.
Yeah, that's what it's for sale on.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
It's $10. If you take in like an old DVD, you get the $5 coupon.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I'm thinking about doing, if they still have any Blu-rays left.
I never did get the second one, so I may go ahead and do that and upgrade The Dark Knight. Good choice.
Yeah, I think that one's $10. Yeah, that one's $10 too this week. Dark Knight. So, let's see. We have the Click Nation movie poll, or the, what we call it, the movie
rankings.
You don't happen to have that up, do you?
Of course I don't. But we give a 5-star ranking. Half star is basically to skip it all together. Hold on 1 second. Crap. Okay, 5.5-star, skip it. 1 star, if you want to see it, wait for basic cable, if that. 2 stars, wait for it on pay cable. 3 stars, worth a rental watch to watch at least one time when it comes out on home release. 4 stars, holds up to multiple viewings. 5 stars, must own, worthy of being added to your collection. So I ask, what is your ranking, gentlemen?
I'm about to say, I don't even know why we asked what the rankings were, because I know where everyone should give it 5 stars.
I give it 5.
I ain't gonna be a jerk and give it about 4. I'm gonna give it 4 because it kind of turned around, but I did always kind of find it a little bit slow in the beginning. It kind of moved a little slow, but I had to get used to how Nolan does things. Yeah, you know, he's telling the whole story, so.
Yeah. So that's our rankings or rating. And now to move on to The Dark Knight. And it came out in 2008. It's directed, produced, and co-written by Christopher Nolan. And it's part of, like I said, part of the Nolan Batman film series, and it's the sequel to Batman Begins. Christian Bale reprises the lead role of Bruce Wayne slash Batman with a returning cast of Michael Caine as Alfred Pennyworth, Gary Oldman as James Gordon, and Morgan Freeman as Lucius Fox. The film introduces the character of Harvey Dent, played by Aaron Eckhart, Gotham's newly elected district attorney, and the consort of Bruce Wayne's childhood friend Rachel Dawes, who is now played by Maggie Gyllenhaal, who joins Batman and the police in combating the new rising threat of a criminal mastermind calling himself the Joker, played by Heath Ledger. Nolan's inspiration for the film was the Joker's comic book debut in 1940 and the 1996 series The Long Halloween, which retold Two-Face's origin. In addition, elements of Steve Englehart and Marshall Rogers' Dark Detective miniseries and its unpublished follow-up were reportedly mined along with other elements of Batman mythology for the story. Something we need to get into, at least we can get into it now, I guess, is talking about some of the supporting cast members like Alfred and James Gordon. I like the choice of Michael Caine as Alfred and Morgan Freeman as Lucius Fox, especially Lucius, because we never saw him in the previous movies, did we?
No. Lucius Fox never was in any previous movies. So
yeah. So he just to give Bruce slash Batman someone else that he could depend on besides Alfred was good to see. Someone else, someone that also knew his secret identity and could help him gather his equipment, since he was getting it all through Wayne Enterprises.
I mean, you can't go wrong with Morgan Freeman at all. And I just like Michael Caine for that freaking accent. So
he does a proper British accent, and he basically, besides the, I don't remember his name, but he's the best Alfred, besides the one that was in the first, I think he was in all the first Batman movies.
Yeah,
because it wasn't in all of them. Even when Joel Schumacher, even when he took over the franchise, yeah, they still kept him as Alfred.
Yeah, I think him and the guy who played Commissioner Gordon were like the only ones that stayed throughout the whole thing to really connect them all.
So, and like we said, we got the same thing from the previous movie. We have sort of two villains, if you want to count.
Heck, you got three villains. Who's Scarecrow was at the very beginning of the movie.
Yep. Yeah, that was a nice little cameo. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's him again.
Mm-hmm. And there he goes. Yes.
Yeah. And he just got
carted off.
Yeah, him and his crew just get straight. I mean, whacked out in the beginning, but that pretty much shows you that at this point in time that one thing that Nolan is playing up in these movies is the other original Batmans. I don't know if we talked about them a long time ago, but with the Schumacher and Tim Burton's, that this movie really plays up the fact, especially Dark Knight, that no one knows if Batman is really a good guy or a bad guy at this point. He is just still a vigilante. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows anything about him, because you remember Scarecrow's guys are trying to dress up in those bad, terrible Batman costumes and getting straight, thrashed.
Yeah. As anyone should, but
But they kind of play that up, even with Gordon and the people in the city, and people are like, this Batman guy is a menace, and that was kind of a good play up on it. I mean, he does a good job with Bruce Wayne. He's not Bruce Wayne that much in there, but he does a good job with Bruce Wayne. What else in there I think was pretty good about the Dark Knight? One thing that's amazing on the Dark Knight to me that's really cool is just the fact that, a lot of people forget, but Dark Knight is over 2 hours long.
And you forget about it because, if a movie can suck you in and you aren't looking at your watch, perfect movie.
Yeah. Done a good job.
It's like the best, 2 hours of your life, watching it. Because I think me and Mr. Banff watched that one, and we was amazed. Like, we left, and, we went in the movies, think we caught, four. And we came out, and the sun was about to go down.
Yeah, long movie.
It was a long movie, but it's worth every bit of it. So I like that. One cool thing about the movie that everybody, I think everybody does talk about this, this is the first Batman where stuff happens with Batman during the day. There's no yeah. Most Batman movies, everything is done at night. But this one has a lot of stuff going on during the day. Be it he's not Batman during the day, but mm-hmm. they still have a lot of action and stuff going on during the day.
Yeah.
And we had to – anyone care about the new Rachel Dawes?
Oh, well, you know, Katie was trapped in the closet with, you know, with Tom Cruise, and she couldn't come outside to play to do this one. I wish she had really came back to do this one. I know she is, too, now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're getting that divorce, but, no, I wish she had came back. Old girl did a good job.
She probably was going to get killed anyway, so...
Yeah.
But now, I don't know if Katie had came back. I'm not quite sure if they would have killed her. But killing this lady off was pretty good. And she fit the role because she did make... she was kind of better for Batman. He needed kind of an older chick kind of in there with him. What I mean by that is, you know, Katie looked all young, like the young upstart, up and coming, you know.
They both were supposed to be young, though, so...
Yeah, at the beginning. If you look back at it, yeah, they were supposed to be younger characters anyway.
Well, yeah, in the beginning, yeah. And then this movie, which I guess I have to give them a little bit longer than a year. I'm a liar. I said this was the Joker's like a year. So looking at her, maybe the Joker was five. I don't know. But, no, she was a good character. I mean, she was a good character. Everybody disses her and everything, but she was cool.
And what did we think of Two-Face, played by Aaron Eckhart?
I like Eckhart as Two-Face. I'm going to admit in the beginning when I didn't have no problem with Eckhart being Two-Face. I just had a problem when I found out Two-Face was going to be in the movie because I was still having nightmares about Two-Face and
Tommy
Riddler.
Lee Jones.
Yeah. Yes. This is just... over the top, just, you know, it was just awful because, you know, what you call it, took the show. He made it too campy.
Yes.
So was Jim
Carrey?
I hated Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face, too.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face. No, Jim Carrey really did a good job with me. Yes. And a lot of people say as the Riddler because the Riddler is really that goofy in the comic book and that over the top. He is silly.
Right.
A lot of Riddler stuff is silly and goofy and stupid. But Two-Face is not coming and going in the comic books you read too. Two-Face, first of all, he's not that indecisive. He only does that when it's time to make really life and death decisions like the Two-Face from Nolan's movie. But he doesn't, you know, this guy had to make a decision on how to wipe his ass with a quarter. on the one with Schumacher, you know, like, nah. And so, but he did a great job on it too. Like I said, I wasn't that excited about him even being in the movie. Like Two-Face, I was just like, oh no, not this again. But
I like that Two-Face. It worked. I like that Two-Face. You know, at least when he was Harvey Dent, you know, he was trying to do good, and it wasn't until after he got scarred that. Even in his mind, he thought he was doing good, even though it was...
Well, I mean, the Harvey Dent and Nolan's movie is a little bit different because in the comic books, he basically goes... the Harvey Dent in the comic books, and I know from the animated series and in the comic books, deep down, Harvey Dent had some psychological issues deep down.
Which is why
he wanted to kind of really be a much tougher... He had a much tougher, meaner exterior on him that was more... He was, you know how they say the old saying is, it takes a criminal to catch a criminal? Mm-hmm. Well, that's really how Harvey was. Harvey had a lot of criminal in his heart deep down. And that's why when he had the accident and his personality, you know, his personality fracture, he became a criminal, you know... He just went over to the criminal side. That's that personality he had. This movie is a little bit different. This guy doesn't suffer from a fractured personality.
Mm-hmm.
He's more just a damaged man trying to figure out the best thing to do. So he's not this guy that's like, okay, I've been through this. I got two personalities. My other personality wants to be a criminal. I'm a criminal. No, he's a damaged guy who's just trying to figure out what to do. and, you know, who's influenced by either side. You know, he's influenced by what he knows and later influenced by the Joker, which is one of the best dialogues in a comic book movie you'll ever hear between him and the Joker in the hospital.
Yeah, I liked how basically he was introduced as the guy that Batman feels, Bruce was like, this is the guy that's really going to save the city, and there won't be a need for Batman anymore. Mm. And, you know, even though he didn't really know about the whole, like you said, the fracture part, you really got to care about Harvey.
Yeah.
Throughout.
But now, like I said, this Harvey isn't fractured. I think this Harvey is really a whole. He's a whole person. No personalities. Nothing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
This one, I'm just saying he's damaged. So he's a damaged. He's just a guy who's damaged and really hurt. He doesn't know what to do. Remember, his girlfriend gets killed. Mm-hmm. The city is still going to crap, and he's in intense pain, on the verge of dying, and he won't die. Basically,
die, bitch, die.
Yeah, pretty much. You left him for dead. You left my son for dead. No, I'm playing. But you know, he just wouldn't die. So he's more of a. I don't think he has a whole split personality thing like played up in comic book. This one, I just think that he's a damaged. He's a damaged individual.
Yeah. And I guess that leads us just to. I guess we never. Okay, yeah.
We got to address the big elephant in the room.
Well, I was going to say that he's the final villain, which is Riddler, played by Heath Ledger.
Joker.
Joker. Whoever, you know, edit that out, because the comic book dude's going to lose their mind. Like, Keith Ledger, you know.
Heath Ledger. Oh, jeez. All right, both of y'all.
I said Keith, dude.
I said Heath.
You know, Heath. He said Keith.
I said Heath.
You said Keith. Play it back. Oh, we can't. Never mind.
Can't play. No, we don't have a mix, so we can't play it back. Ah, boo. Yeah. Anyway, and if I said it, my bad, I meant Heath. I might have said it. I butchered names. Sorry, people. But, yeah, he's the best Joker out, you know, and he's the scariest. This Joker is based on reality, and he's the scariest Joker.
The one thing, you know, the thing with his Joker, the comic books, you know, more so than the first movie, the first movie with Nicholson, played on the fact that, you know, Joker's chaos and, you know, he's truly chaotic. You don't, like, someone trying to be a profiler on him would probably lose their mind because you can't figure out what – you don't know really what his motives are. You know, why is he doing it? And, you know, he has a reason, but if you – anyone else trying to figure it out would never be able to do
it. Well, you know, AKA for all the comic book heads out there, Harley Quinn. So, yeah, but for them, because she was a psycho, she was a psychotherapist who tried to analyze the Joker, and he got in her head, and then became his main squeeze.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that, you know, and that's why, you know, I think he really, you know, I mean, he just embodied the true essence of the character more so than Nicholson, who was just playing Jack Nicholson in makeup, really.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, really, he was playing his Joker like the one from I cannot think of the name of the actor from the old Adam West ones. He's kind of playing that
Cesar Romero.
Yeah, he's playing it up a little bit like Cesar Romero. So yeah, he's playing it up like Cesar on there. Going back to what Black Adam was saying in the comic book, Joker. First of all, Joker is not funny at all. Never been funny. He's not funny.
He has a twisted sense of humor the way he tortures.
No. In the comic book, he doesn't even try and make his sense of humor twisted. He's just jacked up. Like, he just does stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's no rhyme or reason. Like, the best one, I gotta look up that issue, but there's the best one is the one where the Joker basically finds Commissioner Gordon's address and goes over to his house and shoots his daughter, who in this series is Batgirl.
Right.
Yeah, she was Barbara.
The Killing Joke.
Right, The Killing Joke. And it's one of those things where you later find out that the Joker was like, he's like, well, why did you shoot the daughter? Because not only he later admits I shot her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't mean it. I know he's like, and I wasn't trying to kill her. And they're like, why were you trying to kill her? He's like, I just wanted to hurt her. I thought that would be funny.
The joke. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, and because, you know, and Batman, you know, in that comic, Batman goes all the way. Well, that is one of the funniest ones, too, where Batman makes a joke out of him.
And he got the joke.
Yeah. And he gets the joke. And then the Joker gets mad because it's actually funny. And, you know, far as, you know, Batman and Joker go, Batman has no sense of humor to the Joker, or is just not in line with his chaos or thing that he does.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he, you know, Heath Ledger, I mean, it got to the point where I was like, I couldn't really believe that Heath Ledger did such a good job, because I couldn't imagine him actually saying all this stuff. It was just, I mean, you know, you basically got sucked in.
Yeah, with him, because mm-hmm. it gets real spooky. Like the stuff about him being the Joker that kind of kills me. Just to let you know how crazy this Joker is. Like the scene where he goes and he captures the guys that were with Scarecrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends them the video and he's holding them hostage and he seems normal. Then he starts, you know, beating this guy up. Then he just starts just hollering and moaning. And it's just the way he like howls in the camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scene when he meets the mob bosses. You know, burning the money. But, you know, I have my favorite scenes. My favorite scenes, people, is the one where he's in the hospital and he's talking to Harvey Dent, who is now Two-Face, and he's explaining the way, I guess, the philosophy of the Joker, the way the world works to the Joker, and explaining to Harvey that he's been dealt a bad break, but now he can change things for the mm-hmm. better, and kind of trying to get him with his team of chaos. You know, it'd be an agent of chaos for him. And the other scene that I love is the scene where the Joker is talking to the cop in the interrogation room, and he's telling the cop about how he killed his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those scenes where it's just like, I mean, you feel for the cop. You're like, knock him the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a crazy scene, man. He really got in there. He got evil.
Yeah. He was, you know, showed no remorse, you know, because he just didn't care. You know, it didn't matter in his warped sense, you know, in his warped mind.
Yeah, and then he's just nuts. You know, he tricks them out of the money. He burns all the money. And, you know, the bank robbery scene, you know, killing all the guys helping him rob the bank just because. It's not even about sharing the money. He's just killing them just because.
Yeah.
You know.
And then, so, and I guess what I liked was they didn't kill Joker at the end. So it did leave it open for him to be brought back in future movies, even though he won't.
But you know, that was also another part of the whole Batman thing, too, that, remember, Batman can't kill the Joker, remember? You know, Batman doesn't kill anybody.
That never stopped all the villains in the Spider-Man movies from being killed.
But that's Spider-Man, and this is DC. So,
I mean,
you know,
the first Batman movies, all the villains died, too.
Yeah.
Except Riddler.
Mr. Riddler didn't die.
Mr. Freeze didn't die.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
They saved the two biggest stars, or at least people that played them, in case we want to bring them back. You know, Jim Carrey and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Keep them alive in case we want to bring them back.
Well, yeah, kind of. But the way they made Jim Carrey's character, he was so loony in the end. It was like, man, he's not coming back. And Mr. Freeze... And, you know, pretty much, I didn't like the Schumacher joint, so pretty much when they were over with, I didn't care. I was glad to see those go, so I didn't mind it.
It's the one blows air.
That wasn't me.
Yeah, it's not. Hold up for a second.
All right, well, he's taking care of that problem. I'll read some of the box office numbers.
All right.
The Dark Knight earned $533 million-plus in North America and $468 million in other territories for a worldwide total of $1 billion plus.
I just said trillion, million.
I'm not going to read all the
all the numbers.
Yeah.
1 billion. It is the highest grossing film of 2008 worldwide and the 12th highest grossing film of all time worldwide. It made $199.7 million on its worldwide opening weekend, which ranks 28th on the all-time chart. And in an attempt to cross $1 billion in worldwide gross and in order to increase the chances of the film winning Oscars, since the voting for the Academy Awards was approaching, Warner Bros. Re-released the film in traditional theaters and IMAX theaters in the United States, as well as in other countries, on January 23rd, 2009. It finally accomplished its goal to cross the $1 billion mark in February 2009. Therefore, as of March 29, 2009, its total worldwide gross stands at $1,921,825, while its North American gross totals $533 million.
One thing I did want to go back to the plot. I like, basically that, the one thing about the movie was the fact that, you know, Batman, you know, in Batman Begins, he became the ultimate weapon against, you know, crime and evildoers and that type of thing. It took this movie where someone just as bad as him had to come after him, in the Joker. I just wanted to bring that point up. It was a good plot twist, and you know, kind of added progression of the story in this trilogy basically that he had going on. Now he has to face someone that's, you know, even worse than the people he dealt with in the first movie.
Yeah, gotta keep upping the ante.
Well, you know, yeah, that's always some of the arguments that the people in the comic book that the people of Gotham have with Batman. Pretty much, you know, Batman creates these super villains,
yes.
These new villains from out of Batman.
They wouldn't be around if it wasn't for Batman.
Right, if it wasn't for Batman, these guys possibly wouldn't be around.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it ends with Batman taking the fall for what, killing
Harvey Dent. And yeah, all the chaos that Harvey caused in that short bit of time. All that he took the blame for as well. So, you know, now Batman has to become the villain or the fall guy, basically.
And so that sets him up to be hunted by the police and sets up the last of the trilogy, The Dark Knight Rises, which we'll review after we all see it.
Yep, that sets all of that up.
So that's our thoughts and opinions on the Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises. And of course, we have to give our Click Nation movie rating for The Dark Knight. I give it a five.
Yeah, I give it a five. Definite five. Definite five.
Yeah, same here. I give it a five.
And if Mr. Bant was here, he'd give it a five as well.
Yeah, he was with me that day. We both gave that a five because that, like, blew our mind. And we talked about that for a good 45 minutes. And Mr. Bant, who everybody knows Mr. Bant personally, a movie has to be really good for him to talk about it 45 minutes later. Like, he, you know, just keep going on and on. We went on and on about the movie.
And not in a bad way. He can go if the movie's bad.
Yeah, he can go on and on if it's crap. Yeah,
but yeah, like he did for Transformers 3.
Yes.
But that was crap, though. I want my money back. Dude, I got that out of Redbox, and I wanted my dollar back. Like, I really want my dollar back from this. That was crap. Fuck Michael Bay. We say that all the time, but really, dog, fuck you on that. You ruined my childhood, dude. Really, dude, you ruined Transformers for me. I know you don't care, but you ruined it. Man, fuck you. Don't make no other kid movies, man. Stop molesting our childhood, dude. Get out of there. Go find some stuff with some explosions, man. Why don't you do a remake of Asteroids from Atari? Do that shit.
Damn.
You got enough explosions in there for you.
So, with our movie ratings given, all that we have left to do is go over some listener and reader feedback.
But wait, you're leaving out one part, Tim.
What am I leaving out?
We got to talk about the Nolan, Chris Nolan's, how he changed the game, man.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess I'll run that down real quick. Chris Nolan changed the game for the comic books where movies where they added, he has definitely adds more realism to the movies. He gave everybody license to go on ahead and make a comic book movie over 2 hours long.
Yeah.
Yeah, comic book movies.
Yeah. Yeah, make a comic book movie 2 hours long. And he did take all the comic books to a much, because his comic book movie of Batman is based more in reality than other ones, his comic book movie tends to be dark. And for some odd reason, everybody decides that their movies have to be dark, which I don't think that's what he was going for. You know, I know Black Adam can back me up, and I know Tim Dog might back me up on this because he doesn't like DC, but I know Black Adam's read enough DC. Batman is just dark. Batman has never been a light. It's nothing light about Batman. Batman's just dark. That's it. He's just dark. Batman can't keep a chick. Batman got a couple of issues. First of all, he doesn't know whether he's Bruce Wayne or Batman. He can't keep a chick. You know, he hangs with his butler all the time. Crime is never going to end. Plus, he's paranoid. So he has no friends. Even the super friends, he doesn't really have friends because he makes a list on how to kill all of them. So, you know, he's just a dark character.
Yeah, I mean that, and you didn't, and that was the scary thing. It was like all the rumors. Once Dark Knight came out and had made over like $500 million, and it was pretty much the talk of that summer. Everyone was like, okay, the formula is make the character dark, you know, and I don't want to see a dark, you know, like Superman movie. I don't need a dark Superman movie. I don't need a dark Green Lantern movie. And that was the fear that everyone had, was that they were just going to make every superhero movie dark as possible in order to get that Dark Knight buzz or whatever. And it was, you know, and that's not necessary. You know, good thing Marvel kind of kept that formula simple for its Avengers movies. So
yeah, Marvel did not. Marvel didn't go down. All of Marvel didn't go down. We already said that. Amazing Spider-Man went. Amazing Spider-Man went down that road.
Yes.
Let's see who else. Green Lantern should have gone down that road. You know, their problem is they were trying to start a franchise and then probably picked. It's not a bad graphic novel that they chose. It's just for starting off the movie. Most people, especially with a character like Green Lantern, is not widely known to the rest of the public. He needs a definitive bad guy, which is Sinestro,
Not Hector Hammond, which is like quite possibly the one Green Lantern villain I didn't want to see, and they chose him as the main villain. I've said it before. Green Lantern is like the ultimate setup for a second movie, but you should have made a really good first movie.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with Black Adam. I think they should have did. Now, what they did right, which I thought they were going to do, is on the Green Lantern cartoon. Mm-hmm. It is much better. First of all, he spends more time with the Green Lantern Corps and in space. And with the whole setup of Sinestro turning bad, which I think they could have had Sinestro turn bad, right? But in that movie, let's have an accident. I know it's predictable, but let's have an accident or something happen where, you know, Sinestro's been stripped of his powers in the middle of the accident, an explosion or something happens, and it's something that Sinestro could not survive without the power of his ring. I don't know. Leave him out in space. I don't know. But and then he somehow miraculously survived through his willpower and hate. He creates the Yellow Ring. But, you know, they didn't do that. So that kind of doomed that project. So,
C'est la vie.
Yeah. And it just doesn't work because I'm not – everybody else is excited. I know on a great show, Cold Slither, called Cold Slither Live. Great show. Great show, Tim Dog.
Thank you. Thanks for joining the chat.
Yeah, I did a little bit. Nobody liked my people. That's okay. What you call it? Boo me about what was that tweet? Like no tweet? I was wondering if he thought I meant like tweet, like Twitter, like not the single tweet. But that's okay. But dang, I forgot what I was talking about. What was I talking about, man?
how the game was changed and how.
Oh yeah. Okay, well yeah. I mean, it just doesn't work for every movie. Like Superman, I'm not that excited about Superman. I mean, they're changing a lot of stuff that I don't like. I heard they changed the music in it. I hope they didn't, because I love the Superman music. I grew up with that. I'm sorry, you can't. That is Superman. You know, it's like Batman with the cowl. That music just goes with him. You know, so
I'll try and reserve it till I see it. They did get a good guy to do the score for the movie, but I think Tim had pointed out that they were trying to get away from those movies. And the only way, and sometimes you have to do the change like that in order to get people out of that mindset.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, they're going, you know, I've seen the uniform, I've seen Zod's uniform. I haven't seen the clip that they have out on it yet, so I get it. This Superman is going darker than the one, than Christopher Reeve's Superman that we grew up with, so he's going to be, you know, a darker kind of Superman.
Well, we'll see. I'm just going to... We'll have to see some more stuff.
Yeah. So, I think we haven't missed anything else, right?
Nope. We can do shout-outs.
Shout-outs. We have some blog post comments from last week to this week. Let's see. First one is from Dave Nappy. And I believe he's commenting on the Comic Book Chronicles. He says, excellent first episode. I agree that Alpha is not long for Marvel Universe unless they rename him something else. It's not like Marvel has had much luck with characters named after letters in the Greek alphabet. Looking at you, Omega the Unknown. The latest... You remember? I don't even know who that is.
I looked it up on Wikipedia a long time ago, but yeah, it wasn't long for this world.
The latest Marvel solicitations for October have some clues for what will happen in A versus X, and a better idea of the titles that would be ending and likely relaunching in the near future. And if you could get the instrumental track from the 60s Spidey cartoon as your background music, that would be pretty cool. But if I'm reading Tim's fanboy leanings correctly, I think he would rather have the theme to the X-Men animated series from the 90s as the background track.
I think that, you know, I think that really would fit you,
yes,
Tim Dahl.
I applied that to him and told him he is right. And see, General Geekery cast, or JD from the General Geekery, he commented on, also on the Comic Book Chronicles. He said, bitchin'.
Says it all.
And yeah, I think cool. There's one more. I'm trying to wait for the page to load so I can scroll. Let's see. Da-da-da. Yes. And let's see. Next comment is from John or Joannis3000 on Twitter. He says, I think this is from, let's see, I guess I can click on it and see which post he's replying to. Oh, the our review of The Amazing Spider-Man. As I wait for the page to load. I had to wait for it to load so I can actually scroll to the bottom. There we go. I'm almost caught up with Breaking Bad. As soon as y'all are ready to do live calls, I'm down. Best series ever. That's Joannis 3000, our West Coast
click. Oh, that's affiliate. My boy. That's my boy, Joannis 3000. Big up you on that, Joannis, because he listens to offhanded stuff and randomness of me. And big up to you, dude. I did get that tweet, but I'm not a good Twitter. He tweeted me on Pimp Grimace. And that's the face that Stevie J makes when he had pimp shit on his mind. So
he had some tweets to us. As he listens to the show, he tweets us live. So let me pull up the feed here. As I was reading Comic Con news this weekend, I went on a rant, and after I was done, last thing I think I tweeted was there a point to Schism, by the way? That's X-Men Schism, where X-Men were split up and Wolverine took his X-Men and Cyclops took his, and St. Walker 191 replied, ha 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 ha.
So
yeah, like, there was no point.
Especially with Avengers vs. X-Men coming up right after it, it's like there was no point to it because it's not like any of the books like dealt with anything going on in, from Schism, except like maybe
Marvel's getting back. I was gonna say Marvel's getting back to the way they were in the '90s, just do stuff and you
move
know,
right on. Do stuff and move right on.
Yeah, do stuff and don't have a true long-term plan.
Yeah, I mean, just create a bunch of stuff and whatever sticks on the wall, we're gonna run with it.
And William B. West also replied to my rambling about Comic-Con. He says, "Hey," because I think I was bashing Marvel for something. I forget exactly what. And William B. West on Twitter said, "Hey, he's still handling it better than DC would." I think I must have been talking about Loeb. Yeah, I was bashing Jeff Loeb about Avengers. Oh, yeah, because he said Jeff Loeb in an article was saying that Avengers Assemble picks up with when Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes ends, it leads into Avengers Assemble.
Like which that whole thing never made sense.
That's not going to be the case. He just said that to placate angry fans. He's like, he said there's a definite ending to Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which I'm sure there is, but
yeah, I'm hoping he doesn't end on a cliffhanger and then the series is over.
There's no way that it can, that Earth's Mightiest Hero can be lead into what? Avengers Assemble, because Avengers Assemble is going to take place in the same universe as Ultimate Spider-Man. I think they've said that in an interview before, or article. So he's just lying. But William B. West said, "Hey, he's still handling it better than DC would," which I replied, "DC knows how to handle their animation." So thank you for that tweet, William B. West. Let's see. Who else sent us some things? Oh, Joannis did his tweeting while listening to the show. He says, hashtag Stegron, when we were talking about Spider-Man villains,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I heard that one, Stegron.
Stegron.
You know, Stegron is still a cool name just for somebody who could be kick-ass. It's still the dude it really was.
Still_hidden checked out the podcast. He said, "Checked out your last podcast. Good show. I should have been on that one. Lots to say about the Amazing Spider-Man." And that's Adam Black's buddy from college.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Check him out at third_designs, I believe is his Twitter handle for his website.
And talent still hidden.
Yes. Corticon, well, at Corticon on Twitter, he listened to the Click Nation podcast episode 15, which was the Amazing Spider-Man review. And Kojak Delta asked, "Batman or Iron Man?" To which I replied, "As far as movies go, Batman just for Christopher Nolan." And finally, Damian Jackson on Twitter also listened to the Click Nation podcast on Stitcher Radio. So appreciate those tweets, guys.
I'm sorry about talent still hidden. His at is at still_hidden on Twitter.
Yes. So I think that's how I'm gonna do shout outs now. If you tweet us, you get a shout out, or leave a blog post, or an iTunes review, you get a shout out.
Yes, sir.
At least besides all the other shout outs to Cold Slither Podcast, Classic Materia, Eclectic Discussion, the Eclectic Discussion podcast, EDP. Check those shows out on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. The Triforce, sucker.
Yes. And if you want a good Batman episode to theorize how Bruce Wayne got the Batcave built, check out the EDP. It's an early episode, but yeah, the Bruce Wayne and the Batcave murders, I believe, is the name of the episode.
Yes. And of course, shout outs to Underscoop Fire and General Geekery. You're gonna check for their shows on iTunes, and they might be on Stitcher Radio. I'm not entirely sure.
They are.
They are. Okay, good.
Yeah, they are.
And shout outs to Claymation Howell on Twitter. He's a contributor to the Codes of the Podcast. Any shout outs you fellas want to give?
Oh man, just shout out to all the same people. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate them listening.
I want to have a shout out. Shout out all listeners. Shout out to me. Shout out to Mr. Banff because he would say a shout out to himself. And pretty much that's it. Don't forget, find me something to do, man. I need something to do. So you guys find me some kind of topic. I hint toward music, but I'm very random and I'm a polymath. That's a word, Mr. Black. It's a word. And that means I'm pretty much a jack of all trades and a master of none. So just throw a segment at me and see what I'll do with it.
Yeah, he's itching to produce.
Yeah, I need some crap to do, man.
So y'all hit him up. And some other people that tweeted us, Kojak Delta, I Am Big Ben, 87, Nothing Man, 75. Thanks for the Follow Friday shout-outs. Classic Material, who I already mentioned. Ozzy Effin Mendez. David Mack 90, you pump bitch.
He was killing you in the chat on Colts Live.
Talking about trash. You better be glad that the Blog Talk Radio chat feature sucks. Can't do no damn. You have to like the type of letter.
It was kind of slow. Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't just me. I was wondering if it was just Mac users, but I think it. But the problem is, once the room gets full, it starts lagging as far as typing.
It was getting slow, and I had a couple of times where I almost messed up and called the show when I didn't want to. Like I was trying to like chat, and then something would happen, and I would zoom up, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be over here, and then I was like, oh crap, I'm about to end up talking.
But David Matt, fuck you, and Matt. Meister Shake, thanks for the tweets. And we ain't having any email this week, but if you want your voice heard on the show, send email to theclicknation@gmail.com. Follow myself on Twitter, at TimDOGG98.
I am Adam_Black on Twitter.
The_Adam_Black
on Twitter. I also want to give a big announcement. We're going to have 2 or 3 more years of the Click Nation. And I'm making that seem like we just signed a big contract and not just me going to GoDaddy.com and paying the fee to keep the site on for another few years.
Did you do that already?
I'm about to a few minutes.
Yay.
Well, yeah, we're relieved. Yay. 3 more years.
We're on a contract.
Yeah.
Like we're on real radio. We got renewed.
Yeah, like Covino and Rich just did. 2 more years.
Did you, are you going to do it for 2 or 3 years?
Probably three.
Three more years.
We like the name. Unlike me, I'm a genius. I have a domain name I can't get rid of. I tried to sell it, and people were like, "Nah." So I'm stuck with this name for like, not the name for LWJPhotography.com, not that one, but just another thing I was trying to do on the side. And I'm like, why did I get this for 5 years? Like, what about this was a good idea? Like, was I drinking?
I want my money back.
Yeah, I want it bad, dude. I mean, well, it's not even that much. I went El Cheapo, so I'm out of $50. So it was $50 for 5 years, which is a good deal. Off of register.com, and I'm not giving y'all a shot. I ain't giving y'all, I ain't really giving y'all crap because y'all ain't giving us no money or nothing. So, no. I'm not recommending y'all for no. But anything does kind of beat GoDaddy. Crap, I'm just gonna say this though, but GoDaddy, can I just sign up for a domain name? Stop throwing all that other crap at me. I just want to do the domain name and go to bed.
Like, I want to look at all this busy, all this stuff looking busy on my screen. Yeah,
everything is busy, and the stuff you need is in a little corner, and you can't ever see it. You're like, well. What I mean, dude, I set up one for somebody this week, and we have been having the hardest time. I'm working on his website. We've been having the hardest time, like, trying to figure out GoDaddy. Like, where did you put the DNS. And he's like, I put it where you told me. And I'm like, it's not working. Like, it's not working. And I found out the data we put in the wrong spot. Like, that was for something else we were supposed to buy. Then he had to tell them that he didn't want it. And they're like, oh, we thought you wanted it. And we're like, no, we thought that was something else. And I'm like, no, that's part of buying something.
Yeah.
But that's who I deal with.
Rant over.
Well, yeah, rant's over. I mean, they're the cheapest in town as far as it goes for a domain. Well, there are some cheaper, but I'll say GoDaddy is reputable. So you can still find GoDaddy somewhere. I think somewhere in the world they have a physical location.
Especially with, I just lost my train of thought. What were you talking about?
GoDaddy.
GoDaddy.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about them being reputable, especially with their trashiest-looking commercials.
Oh, yeah, well, hey, dude, that's about what I like about it. That's what made GoDaddy popular. Everybody loved the commercials.
Everyone remembers the commercials.
Everyone remembers the commercials. I mean, how many other domain registers do you know? Because that's what they are. There's registered domain names and now do hosting. So how many other ones do you know? I know you guys know some, but just regular people, everybody knows GoDaddy. I mean, maybe between GoDaddy, possibly HostGator, and I had them a long time, Bluehost, maybe them, but Bluehost has been out for a minute, and they're just everywhere, and
hey, reliability.
HostGator's been out there for a long time. So, but, you know, anybody else in the street, where are you going to register your website at? GoDaddy? It ain't no damn commercial because y'all need to give us some money, GoDaddy. So I'm not giving y'all crap. Anybody we mention on the show until you give us some money, I'm not mentioning you as having a good product or anything. I'm not going to see your product's bad. Give me some money. I might change my mind.
Yeah, just remember, Tim, whenever that comes up, edit any episode, this episode if needed.
Give us money. Y'all need to give us money.
Yeah, I need to put some donation button on the website.
Yeah, we need to put like a donate, man. Anything will help, dude, because, I need some money, and we need some money for and some money for some equipment, but I need some. Kind of too,
set up the donation button through PayPal or Amazon wish list or something.
Oh, I can tell. I can hook up a shopping cart. We'll tack a shopping cart to it, or if anything, man, we seriously probably need to talk to Amazon.com because our show is highly geeked up and nerdy, and we are talking about a lot of products that you can get on Amazon.com. A lot of products. You can get your favorite comic books on Amazon.com and graphic novels along with CDs and MP3s. Think about it, Amazon. Click Nation.
Holla at us.
Holla at us, man. I know we ain't got no viewers, but our viewers are devoted. They're going to go to the store.
We need beer money.
They're going to go to the store. I kid you not. All 25 of them. Dark Knight. Our people are devoted. They're ready to roll.
And with that, we come to the conclusion of this episode of the Click Nation podcast. Like we already said, thank you all for listening. We love our listeners. Come holler at us again on the next episode and future episodes and even past episodes if you haven't listened before and it's your first time.
Yep,
and even first time listeners, holler at us. Let us know it's your first time and how you found us and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, do all that. And also listen to all the episodes with Leroy Jetstream. That's from episode 9 until this episode. And, maybe if I play my cards right, these Negroes will put me on the comic book chronicles that for some reason they forget to ask me about. And I don't ever get on. But that's all right. But, yo, shout outs to everybody listening to the show.
And Mr. Bamp's Twitter is at Mr. MISTA. BAMF and bitches, he does not tweet.
Keep that in mind.
Yep.
And I am your host, Tim DOGG for the Click Nation. We are out of here.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you. the plane you flew in on. Them shoes. Your socks with the bell on it. Your gay ass accent. Them cheap ass cigars. Your yuck mouth teeth. Your hairpiece. Your chocolate. Guy Ritchie. Prince William. The Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Fourth pack is back, cause I'm mass destruction. Guess who's here? The bad boys arrest me. Just in competition when the war does the mission. Not no mercy, see the race like the street. If you don't know, you better find out the wolf pack. Here to prove a point, number one, best believe that you don't wanna tussle with them. I'll be there for them, coming to grave with them, you're never walking out again. Don't turn your back on the wolf pack. Don't turn your back on the wolf pack. You might wind up in a body bag.